Thank you. So our topic today is acceptance. And our theme is being human angels, cultivating the divine in everyday life. And so we're going to deal with the qualities of the divine expressing as human qualities. In the past, 7 years ago, we did a year of God qualities. And every month we explored a different one of the qualities of God. And so we looked at love and light and grace and harmony and peace. And we experienced those God qualities in everyday life, yes. But this time we're using the angel cards from the transformation game, which were developed at the Findhorn Spiritual Community in Scotland, to explore the human angelic qualities. And these include trust and transformation, tenderness, expectancy, honesty, contentment, enthusiasm, freedom, openness, kindness, joy, birth, and grace. And those are the ones we have scheduled for the year so far. And I'm in the process of scheduling some more human angels to come to speak to us about even more qualities. And so each one of these qualities is a path of its own. It's an opportunity to expand the way we look at life, to experience more love, more joy, more connection, more fun, more playfulness. And so I am really excited about this topic this year because it feels very open at the top to me. It feels like we're going to have lots of fun and have lots of experiences with each other and with our speakers and musicians who come and uplift us in these human angel qualities. But the reason that I chose acceptance has to do with the picture. And I'm going to pass the card around so that you can look at it. But what it is it shows a little angel approaching an arch doorway, an open arch, with the word welcome above it. And the reason that particular card speaks to me so powerfully is that 15 years ago, I saw a vision of heaven on earth. And the word that came to me at the time was evensong. And what evensong means to me is the constant presence of God. It's an evensong. It's a wonderful, ever-sounding melody of life that never wavers. There is attention to it. I can pay attention to the presence of God, or I cannot, and my attention wavers. But that presence, that evensong, is constant. And the image that I got of evensong was the arched doorway. And the words I heard were welcome to evensong. And it touches me so powerfully because in a relatively short time thereafter, maybe 2 years, I had been doing a weekly service that was about connecting with the heart and feeling that love that's ever present for us and living in the heart of God, having that feeling of always being held and supported and loved. I heard the words welcome to Evensong, and every time I did the Evensong service, when I opened the service, I said welcome to Evensong. I felt like that was really important. When the minister said to me, what do you need us to do that gives this service that feeling for you? I said, we need to say welcome to Evensong at the beginning. Well, 2 years into it, I was in meditation, and I suddenly heard those words from a whole different perspective. And it wasn't me welcoming other people to Evensong. It was that I was welcome. I was welcome to heaven on earth. And that Spirit was welcoming me to that divine place. And so all of a sudden it switched, and it was an internal experience rather than an external experience. And as I settled into that welcome, I accepted that I deserved that experience, that I was worthy of love, that I was open and receptive to the whole idea of heaven on earth. And so this topic of acceptance for me is not just about accepting that what is good, which is a wonderful spiritual practice and one that I've talked about lots and lots of times, where we say, even though it looks like something going wrong, I practice that it's actually something going right from a broader perspective. There's something I don't know here, but this is moving me in a direction I want to go, and I'm going to accept what is in this moment. That's a wonderful spiritual practice. But I think it's a higher vibration, as John was talking about, to realize that heaven on earth is here now, and we are welcome to it. But we have to step through the doorway of it, that beautiful arched doorway. And I used to see a lot of visions, not so much anymore. I have a different kind of expression of my spirituality. Now I write books, but in the old days I used to see visions. And one of the other visions I saw was a series of green fields going up a long, long hill. And periodically across the fields were these gorgeous white stucco walls, like the sides of beautiful hotels in the Southwest. You might know what that looks like. And they all had arched doorways, and all the doors were open. And in between each field was this wall with the arch doorway, but they all looked the same to me. And I said, okay, how many fields are there? And their answer was infinite. And I said, and why would you walk through the doorway? And the answer was, you walk through the doorway when you perceive the difference, when you know why you want to. And so as we raise our vibration, we fine-tune our capacity to perceive. And it allows us to move into a space that is more loving, more delightful, more heavenly, more beautiful than the space we were in previously. But it's never ending. There is no ceiling on how good we can feel. The teacher Abraham Hicks says there is even relief from bliss. That we will always have the opportunity to move to a higher vibration. And so wherever we are, we have the capacity to move up. If we're feeling grief, it can feel better to feel angry. If we're feeling angry, it can feel better to feel anxious. If we're feeling anxious, it can feel better to feel non-judgment neutrality. If we're feeling neutrality, it can feel better to feel willingness and acceptance. If we're feeling willingness and acceptance, it can feel better to feel understanding and reason to come from a logical place. And if we're feeling logical, it can feel better to feel loving. And if we're feeling loving, it can feel better to feel joyful. And if you're feeling joyful, it can feel better to feel ecstatic. There's always somewhere to go. And there's always help in moving up the scale as we are willing to accept help and ask for help and allow our vibration to raise. So as we move into this understanding that acceptance is in the middle, if we're accepting what is. Acceptance is in the ecstasy realm if we're allowing heaven on earth. So we can approach acceptance from higher and higher vibrations and allow our knowing of what acceptance means to expand. and we can bring that angelic vibration onto the planet. We can do that. And one time I had a vision that just blew me away. I've talked about it a lot. Most of you probably heard about it, except Carmen, and I have a new audience today, which is always wonderful for me because I get to tell the old stories again. But I was in meditation, and I was seeing this vision of a teacher who reached out a hand and welcomed somebody. Again, the theme of welcome. And as she touched them and took their hand, she helped them gently up a tiny little step. So little that it was almost they were unaware of it. But I watched this vision for 21 solid minutes. I kept seeing the same vision over and over and over again of a teacher who helped people up one gentle little step. But in the middle of it somewhere, maybe 15 minutes into watching this very loving, very gentle vision, all of a sudden, I had this extraordinary experience where my heart exploded and it went out like to the ends of the universe. And the only way I could describe it afterwards was shot through the heart with the love of God. It felt like 1,000 times more love than I'd ever before experienced. It was just extraordinary. And I cried for 3 hours. David was there. He might remember that. It was extraordinary to have this experience of expanded possibility of love, greater acceptance. And I got to see this model of one gentle step at a time. You don't have to make quantum leaps. And when you try to make quantum leaps, you tend to fall back because you're not quite there, stable. But when you take tiny little steps and you find your balance, you find your ease, and then you're ready for a next step, and you find a teacher, and they help you with a little bit. And the beauty of Science of Mind, for me, is that Ernest Holmes, our founder, said, always stay open at the top. This is not a finished revelation that you have to learn and repeat back. It's an opportunity for you to discover what you believe and endlessly unfold with your knowing of the way the universe works and your practice of this principle and this philosophy that allows you to embrace more and more of the angelic qualities in everyday life. That we never run out of possibilities of practice. We never run out of the experience of love. So as I've studied acceptance, I've felt that the first thing I wanted to do was read what Ernest Holmes said about acceptance. And so I joyfully went to the Science of Mind textbook, and I meant to bring it, but it was raining, and I didn't want to take too much paper out in the rain. So I wrote it all down, and I didn't bring the textbook. But if you saw my textbook, you'd see that it's in pieces, basically. It's well-loved and well-used and shredded after 25 years, and I have newer ones, but boy, do I love that one that has a gazillion different colors of highlights and stuff. And so I got my concordance, which is an index of the various words in the book, and I looked up accepting and accepted and acceptance, and I read what Ernest had to say. And I started writing down pieces of quotes. So this isn't something he wrote continuously. It's from 5 different places in the book. But when I went back and I read it, it all made sense together. So if you want to know what page he said something on, I'd be glad to tell you. But let me just read it because it moved me when I read it. The Spirit cannot make no gift that we do not accept. How much can we accept? Let us begin today to accept more good than we experienced yesterday and to know that we shall reap a harvest of fulfilled desires. The mold of acceptance is the measure of our experience. The infinite fills all molds and forever flows into new and greater ones. Within us is the unborn possibility of limitless experience. Ours is the privilege of giving birth to it. I love that line. And then he said, the possibility of demonstrating does not depend on environment, condition, location, personality, or opportunity. It depends solely upon our belief and our acceptance and our willingness to comply with the law through which all good comes. So we are at choice about how much we are willing to accept in our lives. And I then found the final reading from the Science of Mind textbook that moved me so much, I printed it up. So you have it on your table. David, it's over here. Oh, you got one. And I'd like you to read it along with me, because the experience of reading and listening can amplify the experience. So I started out at the top with a quote from Abraham Hicks, well-being is yours, just relax and playfully accept it. And then we come to what I think may be the most beautiful thing Ernest Holmes ever wrote. We live in a sea of perfect life, and we should take time to understand and sense this in our imagination. We should think of ourselves as being surrounded by a perfect life and poised in an eternal calm. We are in a sea of untroubled waters of life from which we may freely drink. We must do the drinking. No one else can do this for us. We should hold out the cup of acceptance until it is filled and overflowing with the manifestation of our desires. This chalice of the heart is held up that the heavenly flow may fill it with God's abundant life. I wrote all of that between midnight and 1 o'clock in the morning. And I was so moved by it that I read it aloud to myself before I went to sleep. And I read this one on the handout twice, because it was so poetic and so beautiful, and it spoke to so many different aspects of this idea of perfect life and perfect acceptance and our role in accepting. It touched me deeply, and so I read it aloud, which I rarely do. I talk to my cats, yeah, but I don't usually read to my cats, but I did that night. A bedtime story for all of us. And I went to sleep. And I woke up, and I'd had two dreams. And the dreams were so profound for me that I actually got up and wrote them down. And I don't often remember my dreams. When I have visions in waking life, I remember them. But when I dream, not so much. I wake up, I forget. But I didn't want to forget these dreams, because they were the result of what I had read right before I went to sleep. And I'm going to tell you about the first dream. In the first dream, it was very simple. It was very brief. I was with a man and a woman, and I don't remember what she looked like. The man was the one who was speaking. And he looked like a businessman in a blue jacket and a tie and a gray slacks, a blazer. And he was dressed nicely for business, but he had an electric guitar slung across. It was a little paradox. And my sense was not that he was a rock musician, but that he was a businessman with a guitar, a hobby. That he was used to doing what he loved. And he was talking to the woman, and I was observing the two of them, and he said, "My annual income is $2.9 million. And I said, "Oh no, you must have that wrong. Your net worth is $2.9 million. And he very gently and kindly said to me, "No, my annual income is $2.9 million. And so what that dream showed me is that I have a ceiling on how much abundance is even possible. You know, I couldn't allow that he could be receiving that much abundance. But he corrected me very firmly but kindly that no, he knew how much money he was taking in, and it was a whole lot. It was a whole lot. And in the second dream, I encountered two other people who were living extravagantly abundant lives. But this time, it was two men, and I had been invited to come talk to one of them. I went into their home or their workspace. It was like a city apartment. And one of them greeted me, and his was the name that I knew. He was the person I was going to see, and for some reason I was familiar with his name. I wasn't sure what he was famous for, but I knew he was famous and very successful at being famous, whatever it was for. And so I went in there and I met him, and he took me into this long, narrow room. It was probably longer than this room, but maybe, you know, two-thirds of this room in width. And in the middle of the room was an electric piano of the kind that they used to compose with these days, with a whole lot of empty space around it. And in one end, the only other thing in the room was a desk against the window. And in front of the desk and on this side of it were masses of flowers, shelves with masses of flowers. And there was a man sitting behind the desk. And I made the assumption that this was like the famous person's personal assistant or whatever. And so he's chatting with me, and we're standing by the flowers, and I said to him, he said, "Oh, what I'm known for is facilitating music into the world, but I don't play myself." And I said, "What is it you do?" And he picked up a spray bottle and he spritzed the flowers. And all of a sudden, there was this incredible fragrance in the room. And he said, "Just smell the flowers." And the two of us smelled this incredible fragrance. And the flower looked like nothing that was giving off this fragrance. It looked like a bunch of sticks. But it had this amazing fragrance, and it was intoxicating, and we started to giggle. And the two of us were just standing there giggling. The other man was sitting at the desk, and suddenly the man at the desk got up, and he went over and he began to play the piano. And it was sublime. It was amazing. And pretty soon thereafter I left. And in return for my visit, I received a check for $30,000. And a second check for $100,000 to put me on retainer to go back and do what I had done there if he needed me again. Because in that moment, the master had been blocked. He had not been able to access his gift, his creativity. And for some reason, the fragrance and the giggling unblocked his flow. And he was able to sit down and allow the magnificence of his music to flow again. Well, the dream went on and I had other interactions with these amazing people. But the point for me was that it gave me a glimpse into creative life and incredible flow and some of the things that allow the flow to happen. And the variety of constellations of gifts each of us have. Each of us have something extraordinary to give, but it isn't the same thing that the person next to us has. And as we give of what is ours, we help release that creativity in others. And so there's this wonderful synergy as each person is giving who they truly are from their absolute ease and flow of just expressing who they are. All of a sudden, it releases other people to express more fully and express more fully. And there's this whole community of creativity that continues to develop. And that's the sea of perfect life that Ernest was talking about. I mean, I got to see it more powerfully. And in Science of Mind, the ministers usually say that if you have a dream, you are part of all of the pieces of the dream. So I was the facilitator. I was the master. I was the one who was blocked. I was the one who came in to help. And all of those things just allowed me to see the many roles I play in my own life, where I allow myself the space. I fill my home with flowers because that's something that really helps me get inspired. I literally, there's flowers in my bathrooms, there's flowers in my living room and my kitchen, and there's in my den, there's flowers in my whole house because that's something that I know inspires me. I'm going to start spritzing them with water, obviously. There's something into that. But the expression of flow and divine life and beauty and creativity and power, all of that just inspired me tremendously. And so what it comes down to me for this is this idea of the chalice of the heart. Opening our hearts to the possibility that this is already heaven on earth. We're not trying to create something that isn't. We're not trying to be something we're not. We're allowing ourselves to accept what's already here, accept who we already are, and then give from the overflow of the abundance that comes naturally when we are open and accepting. And we've walked through that door that we're welcome to walk through any time. So that's my new year, about playfully accepting the good that's already flowing, of counting my blessings, of seeing the beauty, of trusting the unfolding. And yes, giving myself the things that support me. Filling my house with flowers. I noticed that I'd cleared off some tables for having people over, and I felt the spaciousness of that. I felt how wonderful it was to have three tables that had nothing on them for a party. Usually my tables have stuff on them. Openness. What makes you more creative? What fills your heart? What makes your heart sing? Give yourself that and allow other people to give you that. And then allow your gifts to flow into the world freely and lovingly. And accept the good and give and accept. It's a divine flow that happens naturally as we're open and accepting of our good. Happy 2014.
Thank you.
Thank you.